And I believe the Lord will help us if we'll let Him. I'm going to do something that I don't usually do. I want you to find two passages of Scripture this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17 is where we'll be to start off. 1 Samuel 17 and verse number 17. And I'll read about two verses from 1 Samuel 17, then we'll jump to 1 Samuel 30. In verse 16 in 1 Samuel 17, the Bible says this, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn." Now jump with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 30, and that'll be where we draw our second verse from this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 30, let's see if I can get there. 1 Samuel 30, and the Bible says in verse number 7, "And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And I like the way the Bible says, and the Bible says, "And he answered him," that's the Lord that answered his prayers. "And the Lord said, and he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." And I want to preach for just the next few moments this morning something that is on my heart and something that I am currently living. But I want to preach on this thought, from the ephah to the ephod. From the ephah to the ephod. Would you pray for me and with me? Our God, our Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus. God, I humbly bow myself this morning as your vessel, as your servant. God, I realize I am unable, I'm inadequate to do what I'm about to do without the touch of the Holy Ghost upon my life. God, I pray most of all, Lord, if there's anything in me that's not like Christ, Lord, that you'd rid me of it. Lord, you'd cleanse me of it. God, make me a clean and an empty vessel this morning. God, so that you could fill me with your Spirit. God, I pray that you'd bind the enemy, bind the devil, back him down. God, so that you can go into his house and spoil his goods. And God, we'll be careful to give you the glory, honor, and praise for everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. We find ourselves in the life of David in 1 Samuel 17 and in 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I'll say this, David is probably one of my favorite Bible characters in all the Word of God, because I am just like David. There has been times in my life, no doubt, when I could say, the heavens declare the glory of God. But then there's been times in my life when no doubt I could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There's been times in my life when no doubt I felt like I could slay a giant and I could fight the enemies of God. Then there's been times in my life when I'd say, Lord, where are you even at in the midst of all of this? And I find David in 1 Samuel 17, where the Bible says that David takes an ephah of parched corn in his hand. And I want to draw the thought from the ephah to the ephod through the life of David. We find in 1 Samuel 17, we all know the story, how Jesse comes to David, that's David's father, and he says, David, I want you to go down to the battlefield where your brothers are, and I want you to take them an ephah of parched corn, and I want you to take them something to drink that they can realize that they have a father that cares about them. And I'm going to shoot this rabbit while he's a running by, but I am thankful this morning that we have a father that knows exactly where we are. He knows exactly what we need, and he cares about his children this morning. But we find in the life of David how David is on the way to this battlefield, and rest assured in this morning, David is not on the way to that battlefield to slay the giant, but David is on the way to that battlefield to serve his brethren. And something that God's been teaching me in my life is God will never trust you in the aspect of slaying until God can trust you in the aspect of serving. I want you to realize three simple truths about the life of David on this journey from the ephah all the way to the ephod. I'd say, first of all, we see truths about David starting. We see truths about David's starting. And I'd say this about David's starting. We see David's concealment. In 1 Samuel 16, we all know the very familiar passage. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm starting to feel a little bit of preaching my soul up here. Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. We see some truths from the life of David. And we all know the story. And from good God Almighty, I feel like God just hit me with a lightning bolt. In 1 Samuel 16, we find the man of God walks into the house of Jesse, and he walks in and says, "Jesse, I'm here to anoint the next king of Israel." And Jesse says, "Oh, perfect. I know just the boy, Eliab. He's the tallest. He's the strongest. He's the most qualified." And then walks Eliab. He's the tallest. The Bible says that God speaks to Samuel, the man of God. And he says, "Samuel, man looks on the outer appearance, but God sees the heart." Now I believe that this is something like what God said to Samuel. I can't prove this to you, but you can't prove me I'm wrong. Somebody say amen. I believe Eliab walks in and Samuel goes, "Wow, he's tall." And I believe God says, "Hey, buddy, that's what got y'all in this mess in the first place." You remember the Bible says Saul stood head and shoulders above all of Israel. You see, David then walks in. We all know the story, and I'm moving somewhere quick because I believe God's got something for us. David walks into the house, and I never noticed this until I've been studying the life of David. But in the Old Testament, they would never sit down until the king arrived. 1 Samuel 16, all the brothers are in the house except for David. Samuel goes one by one. Eliab's not able. The next one's not able. The next one's not able. And he says, "Jesse, do you have any more sons?" And Jesse says, "Well, yeah, I've got one more son, but he's out in the field watching over my flock." And I believe just about that time, that was like God was saying, "Hey, Samuel, there he is." And as David walks into this house, the youngest brother, the smallest brother, the most inadequate brother, the most unqualified brother walks into the house. Something that you'll learn is nobody has sat down yet. Now, I don't know why I'm preaching this. This ain't even in my outline, but I feel like I should say this. You see, just because everybody else sees you as invaluable does not mean that you are invaluable to God. We live in a day of depression and anxiety and darkness, and I understand that. I've had to deal with some of that the past couple of days. Just be honest with you. If I were to sit here and get on my self-righteous Pharisee chair and say you're just weak in your Christianity, I'd be lying to you. That's heresy. Study the life of Elijah. Study the life of Peter. Study the life of Paul. My goodness, this is something that God uses in our lives. But we find David walks in and they have not sat down yet. They've said, "We're not sitting down until the king gets here." We all know the story. David walks in, they all sit down. Samuel anoints David as the next king of Israel. Theologians would say that when David gets anointed as king, he's 12 years old. And there's a lot, Brother Philip, you would agree, there's a lot of typologies in David to Christ. And I sure love that, because the first time we ever hear about Christ, after he was born, he was 12 years old. But we see how he gets anointed as the next king of Israel. And something that I believe the Lord has really shown me, from the time David's anointed as the next king, he did not step into the palace the next day. Are you with me this morning? Somebody say amen. We'll get somewhere, I promise. We got to get here before we get there. David does not step into the palace the next day. But what does David do? He goes back to being faithful and doing what he was doing before God touched him. We see David's concealment. But then we see David's contentment. How do I know that? You remember when David in 1 Samuel 17 comes to the battlefield. And Eliab says something like this. He says, David, you've come that you might see the battle. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, David, you're too small to even be here. David, you know you can't fight. And then he says, and by the way, David, who have you left those few sheep with? When I read that, I've never seen it like I've seen it this time. My brother, here's what Eliab was saying to David indirectly. He was saying, David, I know you don't have a lot to look over, but you have been faithful and doing what little has been given to you. That shows David's contentment. But then I'd say this, we see David's concernment. That word concernment means importance. You see, in the life of David, just because he doesn't go from the anointing to the next day to killing the giant does not mean that David was not important to God. And something that I have been studying about and something that my spirit bears witness with is I believe in those years from the time of his anointing to the time he's revealed as the next king of Israel, I believe those were probably some of the sweetest years that David ever had with God. Matter of fact, it was probably in that time when the lion came and when the bear came. You remember when David says that to Saul? He says, a lion came and a bear came and I went out after them and I smote them. But you see, in this time when nobody knows David's name, nobody knows where David is, those were the times that I believe when God really revealed himself to David in a mighty way. And I thought about this. In 1 Samuel 17, when David walks into that camp of where all the children of Israel are, he walks in with an ephah of parched corn. And something God's been dealing with my heart about is David walks in carrying that ephah of parched corn. And all of those men, when David walks in, here's what they say. Well, he's just another servant. Little did they know, church, that the man that they were looking at was the next king of Israel. And may I remind you, the first time the Lord Jesus came, all everybody saw was the servant of servants. But can I remind you this morning, child of God, the next time he comes, he will not be the servant of servants, but he will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. May I say, he's not coming back as a lamb that's been slain before the foundations of the world, because he's already been slain. But honey, the next time he comes, he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah with all power and all grace and all mercy in his hand. And one of these days, I'm going to go up hither with him. We see David starting, but then I'd say this, and just be honest, this is where God's been beating my head up with a 2x4. We see David starting, but then we see truths about David struggling. We see truths about David struggling. I'd say this about the truths about his struggling. Number one, we see an attack on David's character. All the way from 1 Samuel 18 to 1 Samuel 30, there is what I would call a sandpaper companion in the life of David. And this man's name is King Saul. You remember in 1 Samuel 18, the Bible says that the kingdom is declaring that Saul has slain his thousands and David has slain his 10,000s. We all know that. And Saul gets a little jealous of the little David. The Bible says that Saul wants David dead. And Saul wants to kill David because he knows the plans that God has for David. And he sees that the hand of the Lord is upon David's life. And I was thinking about that, and God's really shown me some things. But did you know that David could have quit because of the opposition that he was facing from the king? Can I remind you young people of something? I know this is Youth Sunday, so I want to say this. And I'm only 21 years old. I don't act like I'm so far ahead of you. I've only been preaching for 4 years. But I will tell you this. There's going to come times in your life when God asks you to do something, and not everybody's going to be for you. And can I tell you this? If God's put it in your heart, you need to follow Him. Even though you may lose some things, my God in heaven, even though you may lose some things, you may have to set some things aside. Rest assured, if God's put that in your heart, you've got to follow Him with everything in you. We see truths about David struggling. We see the attack on his character, but then we see the attack on his country. 1 Samuel 30, that's where the Amalekites come and invade Ziklag. The Bible says that they stole the women and children from Ziklag. And they take these children and these women, and that's when David inquires of the Lord, and he says, "Lord, shall we pursue?" That's the attack on David's country. But then something else the Lord showed me in 1 Samuel 22 is we see the attack on David's cabinet. We see the attack on David's cabinet. And the reason I use that word cabinet is because in that chapter of Scripture, King Saul demands that the priests of the Lord get slain. Because the Bible says that Saul saw that their hand was with David. The Bible talks about how many of them did get slain because of who they were friends with. And I know we're in doom and gloom right now, but I promise we'll get somewhere. But there's going to come times in your life when it requires you to do something. The Bible says that He is entrusted to every man a measure of faith according to what he hath need. There has been times in my life when God's asked me to do something, to lay something aside or to go harder and go faster for God. And then sure enough, there would be people that I thought would be with me for the rest of my life walk out on me, or turn their back on me. And I say, "Lord, what's going on?" And here's something that I've learned. If we're going to get from the ephah all the way to the ephod, there's got to come a point where we struggle. Job said, "Man born of woman is few of days and full of trouble." Then Job also said, "He knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." It's a process. We see truths about David starting. We see truths about David struggling. And this is where my heart's at. Because I'll be honest, I've been preaching it to myself all morning. And I have been reminding myself, and even in the hardest days, no doubt, of my life, the past couple of days, I have faith in a thrice holy God. Amen. That hears and answers His children's prayers. I said we see truths about His starting and His struggling. But then lastly, I'll say this, we see truths about David's striving. We see truths about David's striving. And I like that word striving because that shows me, and it's a visual picture of what these runners do when they run in these marathons. They say stride, but striving is moving towards something or going at it with all you have. And I can't stand them, but that's LeBron's motto, strive for greatness. And we see David striving, and I'll give you three things about David striving, and then I'll take my seat. I'd say number one, we see David's dilemma led him to his striving. David's dilemma led him to his striving. When the Amalekites invaded Ziklag and stole the women and children, it led David to, I believe, one of the darkest places in his life. The Bible talks about his wives that had been stolen and his children that had been stolen. And I believe David finds himself in the darkest place or one of the darkest places that he had ever been. And that dilemma, that darkness led to David saying, Lord, you're all I've got. We see David's dilemma, then we see David's deliverance or David's dependence in his striving. I just gave you the last point, that's okay. We see David's dependence in his striving. David, I can say, solely casts himself on the Lord. And he says, Lord, I can't, but you can. Lord, I am not able, but you are able. But then we see David's deliverance because of his striving. And I'll get somebody to come help me on piano if that's okay, preacher. And I'm just going to share my heart with you if that's okay. God's been making me live that sermon I just preached to you. And I'll just be honest with you, it tears my nerves up that I have not been able to preach to you this morning like I normally preach. But I can say this, children of God. Now, I'm not saying this for pity party. I hope you know that. But I came to the point this week where I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I desire your power and your will in my life more than I desire anything else. God, if you require me to lay something down that's very near and dear to my heart, I'm willing to do it for your touch upon my life. And it's been dark. Soon as you make that step of faith, there's a little devil that comes and walks in the room. And he says, hey, buddy, you keep following God. My God, this is in my heart. Hey, buddy, you keep following God. How's it turned out? Hey, Joe, you have less now than you had when you first started. Joe, you came so close, but you missed it. And I'm not going to go into great details, but you know what I purposed in my heart? Lord, I know that I started with the ephah. You see, the ephah is just a simple tool that's used to carry corn. And the ephod is a priestly garment that the priest would wear as a picture of the Holy Ghost. You see, what the ephod is it's a stone on the one side with six tribes of Israel. And a stone on the other side with six tribes of Israel written on it. And they would wear that in times to symbolize them carrying Israel to the Lord and presenting Israel to the Lord. In 1 Samuel 17, we see David, my brother, carrying corn. But in 1 Samuel 30, we see David carrying Israel. He's no longer carrying corn in 1 Samuel chapter 30. But he is carrying Israel. Here's my heart. I've said everything I've said to get to right here because it's Youth Sunday. This process through David's life. He's carrying corn to slaying a giant, to running for his life, to finding himself in a place saying, God, where are you even at? Till in 1 Samuel 30, he takes something that belongs to a priest and he carries a nation on his shoulders. And God hears and he answers his prayer. And God entrusts David. Pastor Philip, you know what I'm preaching right now because I've talked to you. And God entrusts David with more than he's ever had before in his life. And here's my heart. It started here with the ephah of parched corn. Can I break it down to you in 2022 terms? It started with David pushing a vacuum cleaner in the church. It started with David singing in the youth choir on a Sunday morning. It started with David saying, Lord, it may not be much, but I'm willing to do it because I love you. It started with something small. But over here in 1 Samuel 30, God stamps his approval and says, David, because you started with the ephah, I can trust you with the ephod. Young people, I'll preach to you for about 30 seconds. Here's where you are at in your life at the ephah. Here's what God's asking you to do. Just start. Just start doing something for Him. And watch through the journey of your life with your eyes fixed on Him. Watch yourself end up over here at the ephod. And something the Lord's put on my heart is in 1 Samuel 30, there was a whole nation that was depending on David to take that ephod. And Pastor Philip, they did not know it at the time. But in 1 Samuel 17, there was also an entire nation depending on David to carry the ephod. Here's why. God is not a God of time. He's a God of timing. If David would have said no to the ephah in 1 Samuel 17, there would have not been an ephod at the perfect time that Israel needed it the most. And because David said, Lord, yes. Here, this is good preaching right here, even if I am doing it. Here, David says, yes. My God in heaven, I've never seen this before, but the Holy Ghost is giving it to me right now. And over here, David's not saying yes. God is saying, yes. My goodness, I feel that in my soul. We have got to get to the place where we say, Lord, Yes, I am willing. God, if all you want me to do is carry just a little bit of corn. Yes. And somewhere later on down the road in your life, there's going to be a God in heaven that says, oh, you're praying for your lost loved one to get saved? Yes. You see, here's this thing. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Then He says, and he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Children of God, I came to tell you this morning, if you'll say yes to the ephah, God will say yes to the ephod. Who is it in your life right now that God is relying on you to say yes to the ephah so He can say yes to the ephod? There's somebody in your heart right now, there's somebody in mine that I know I need the ephod. I know I need that authority and that power with God, that standing with God. God's saying, Joe, you can't get here until you say yes here. There's got to be a start. There's going to be a struggle. And through all of that, we've got to strive after Him and say, God, with every fiber in me, I'm going after You, and I'm going after You alone. God, if I've got to lay everything aside, God, I'm going after You. And God will meet you right exactly where you are, give you right exactly what you need, and right exactly when you need it. Would you stand with me this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed?